I think one of the worst legacies of the Obama presidency was the politicization of the Department of Justice.
It's hard to describe the kind of thrill of walking down the street to the parade as opposed to walking down the street to get arrested.
This phenomenon has a name, rainbow capitalism, or sometimes pink capitalism. It refers to how companies want to be seen as supportive of LGBTQ rights.
To This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. No promo homo bill promoted in Ghana, Cruz clouds confirmation hearings with anti-equality ploy, and queer youth calculate rainbow capitalism. Those stories and more this week because you found This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 13, 2021. Official homophobia continues to escalate in Ghana this week as 8 members of parliament push a bill to make the promotion of queer rights a criminal offense. The move comes on the heels of the closure of the Accra offices of LGBTQ Rights Ghana in late February. National security forces unexpectedly raided the fledgling group's headquarters after it had been open less than a month. Publicity around that action aroused condemnation by anti-queer religious and political leaders. The raid and closure also prompted global outrage led by Brits of Ghanaian descent, including actors Idris Elba and Naomi Campbell, and dozens of other celebrities, politicians, and human rights advocates. That only made Ghanaian government officials step up their anti-queer rhetoric. The lead sponsor of this week's No Promo Homo proposal is MP Samuel Narti George of the opposition National Democratic Congress. He announced on Facebook that he and 7 other MPs would be presenting a private member's bill to, in his words, ban the advocacy and act of homosexuality in all its current and future forms. We owe it to ourselves and the people of Ghana to uphold that which gives us our identity as a people. May we unite in this fight against the scourge and perversion that homosexuality presents, so help us God. Same-gender sex is already punishable with up to 3 years in prison. MPs from a number of the West African nation's political parties might support the No Promo Homo measure, according to Reuters. However, Ghana's current legislative session concludes at the end of March, so the clock may simply run out.
Nigeria is another homophobic West African hotspot. The latest police raid on a suspected gay party has been reported by local media in the state of Anambra. The number of detainees has not yet to be confirmed. A source familiar with the operation told Nigeria's Punch newspapers that an anonymous tip led authorities to the hotel room. That account describes the partygoers fleeing in all directions when the policemen arrived. Those arrested were taken to the police station's anti-cult office for investigation. The anti-cult division was set up to combat violent campus confraternities. Nigeria outlaws making a public show of a same-sex relationship and involvement in any LGBTQ organizations. Some Nigerian states govern under strict Islamic law. Fortunately for the detainees, Anambra is not one of them. So while they may face jail time, there's no public caning if they're convicted. Anglican Archbishop of Nigeria, Henry Nabuku, has chimed in, calling homosexuality a virus that should be urgently and radically expunged, according to Pink News. Meanwhile, Time reports that virulent homophobes have been invading a queer Nigerian invite-only drop-in audio chat app called Clubhouse, where users can access LGBTQ supportive talks, discussions, and workshops. People interviewed for the late February Times story said they'd reported the anti-queer moderators through the app with no response. Time also said that their requests for comment on Clubhouse's community guidelines went unanswered.
Panama's National Assembly has approved reforms to the adoption system to specifically deny prospective LGBTQ parents. Article 22 of the bill states that only a man and a woman united in marriage or a common law marriage for a minimum of 2 years, can adopt a child. Article 26 specifies again that the adopting couples must be of different sex. A number of human rights organizations have signed on to an open letter by the Panamanian LGBTQ rights group Fundacion Iguales, calling on President Laurentino Cortizo Cohen to veto the two offending articles. The queer advocacy group's president Ivan Shaniz Barahona told the Washington Blade that there are no gender-specific references in current adoption laws and that the reforms violate international law. If Cortizo signs the bill with the two offending articles intact, Shaniz said it would be a setback for human rights in the country. The Inter-American Commission on Human Rights has joined the chorus of global opposition to the blatantly discriminatory provisions. The commission's judicial branch is the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, and it ruled in 2018 that same-gender civil marriage must be legalized by all members of the Organization of American States. Panama is one of them. Its government announced that it would comply with the decision, but has yet to take concrete steps to do so.
In Poland, they want to forbid even single LGBTQ people from adopting children. Current law limits adoption to married heterosexual couples or single people. But the notoriously anti-queer government announced a proposal this week that would also require vetting single applicants, just to be sure they are not living with a same-gender partner. Polish President Andrzej Duda and other members of his ruling far-right Law and Justice Party have rebuffed intensifying criticism from other European Union member states. They insist that it's a strictly domestic issue because LGBTQ rights threaten their country's Roman Catholic culture. More than 100 city and regional governments across Poland have enacted measures rejecting LGBT ideology and declaring their areas LGBT-free zones. One such LGBT-free zone rejected the proposed visit of France's out-minister for European Affairs, Clément Beaune, this week. The snub was blamed on COVID-19, according to Pink News. But as of this week, the entire European Union is declared an LGBTIQ freedom zone. The European Parliament voted overwhelmingly to insist that LGBTIQ rights are human rights. The resolution was offered by the EU's LGBTI intergroup. It denounces growing hate speech by Polish public authorities and elected officials, including by the current president.
That same European Parliament resolution noted that the basic human rights of LGBTQ people in neighboring Hungary are also being severely hindered by far-right President Viktor Orban. He has a close relationship with Poland's Duda. But Orban got a minor pushback this week. His administration had tried to deny changes of legal gender by all trans people who have already transitioned. The Constitutional Court ruled that the denial only applies to those who began transitioning after May 2020, when the blanket statute passed. Hatter's one of Hungary's leading LGBTQ rights groups. Spokesperson Thomas Dombos noted that lawsuits have already been filed to challenge the entire ban. He called the court's narrow 8-6 vote to reject the law's retroactivity alone encouraging.
Finally, an in-the-round version of Sydney, Australia's world-famous gay and lesbian Mardi Gras conquered COVID-19 on March 6th. Some 36,000 people packed the Sydney Cricket Ground to cheer about 120 entries and 5,000 parade participants as they circled the stadium track. Singer Rita Ora was the headline entertainer. The 43rd annual festivities were also nationally televised again. Because the entire state of New South Wales had gone 48 days without a single reported coronavirus infection, face masks and social distancing were not required. Agence France-Presse called the circular procession a tightly managed spectacle filled with pyrotechnics, dazzling performances, and speckled with corporate sponsors. It replaced the usual parade on Oxford Street along Sydney's main LGBTQ business hub. health officials issued an exemption for a much smaller protest march along the usual parade route by those who wanted to remember Mardi Gras' origins. It began with a violent police attack on peaceful pridegoers in 1978. Several groups brought political messages to the cricket ground parade as well. Banners and chants called for transgender rights, sex worker rights, and an end to the deaths of Indigenous Australians in police custody.
A number of homophobic assaults marred the celebration. Gay National TV crime reporter Mark Reddy became a victim himself. What he called a car full of idiots threw eggs at him and his friends in the early morning hours after the parade. Similar incidents were also reported in and around the cricket ground or in Sydney's queer business area. Bottles as well as eggs were hurled at perceived queer people. Police are investigating. Soon after reporting the incident, Reddy tweeted, "Gay hate crimes still exist, but that if you think some eggs are going to rattle us, think again."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 13th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency, but is still being written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Joe Bainline. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
We have waited for this moment for 25 years. Today is the first time an Irish LGBT group will be on the avenue with our banner. It's huge.
Remembering a marching milestone later in the program. The former U.S. president's oft-quoted desire for an archly unethical lawyer like the late gay but not great Roy Cohn left a Justice Department still smoldering in partisan-driven intrigues. So it was quite a double-take moment to hear Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz's opening shot during hearings on a nominee for a justice post in the Democratic Biden-Harris administration.
The Department of Justice has a long history of being apolitical, of exercising fidelity to law, of not being used as a partisan weapon to target the enemies of whichever administration is in power. The Obama-Biden administration corrupted that process, and we are still dealing with the consequences.
Except for his time spent going to Cancun to escape his state's deadly winter storm disaster, Cruz has been riding the culture war ever since he helped rally the violent January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. He brought that tactic to the confirmation proceedings for Vinita Gupta's nomination to be Associate Attorney General. His weapon of choice was the Equality Act, the bill to add sexual orientation and gender identity to federal civil rights law. Judicial Committee Chair Democrat Dick Durbin of Illinois tried to curb Cruz's self-aggrandizing enthusiasm as Gupta tried to respond.
Today's Democratic Party has abandoned religious liberty. Indeed, the Equality Act, of which you are a vocal supporter, that has now come out of the House of Representatives, is a radical piece of legislation that, among other things, explicitly repeals significant aspects of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to take away our religious liberties. You have been a vocal defender of the Equality Act. Do you agree with the provision stripping RFRA's religious liberty protections from Americans?
Senator, let me begin by saying that religious liberty is incredibly important to me. I am a person of faith. My family is one of deep and abiding faith. And this country's founding freedom was rooted in religious liberty. I have defended religious freedom throughout my career. When I was at the Justice Department, I launched an interagency effort to protect religious liberty.
Ms. Gupta, I appreciate that, but our time is
limited.
Senator, answer the question.
Senator, it's only fair to allow her to complete her answer.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that she has things she wants to say, but I asked if she supports the repeal of RFRA. That's not
Senator,
the question.
Senator, if you want to make a speech, you may make a speech.
I'm asking a question, and she's giving a speech,
answer.
And I understand that you support her nomination, so you're giving a speech too. But I'm asking a question.
I'm asking you to allow her to answer.
She was not answering. She's welcome to answer the question. The question is, do you support the Equality Acts repealing RFRA's protections of religious liberty for Americans?
Senator, I support RFRA. I have enforced provisions of RFRA, and the Justice Department must enforce the law. The Justice Department enforces religious liberty and protects it. It also enforces our nation's anti-discrimination laws.
Let me try a third time. Do you support the Equality Act's repeal of RFRA's religious liberty protections?
Senator, if confirmed as Associate Attorney General, my duty will be to enforce laws to protect religious liberty and the anti-discrimination laws that the Justice Department...
Okay, so you're declining to answer that as well. Let's move to another topic.
Nobody likes him. Everybody loathes him. He gives people the blues of rhetoric that's hateful. He serves up a plateful, so everybody hates Ted Cruz. To hear him on the stump, he's even worse than Donald Trump. But fortunately, nearly everybody hates Ted Cruz.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valanche. When I'm not lounging at Sky Bar with Bette or Whoopi, I'm listening to This Way Out. Please do stay tuned.
Some businesses may try to seem supportive in public by displaying pride flags and marketing to our community, while behind the scenes, they're supporting anti-LGBTQ causes and candidates.
Friend or foe behind that product? Tips on how to tell the difference later in the program. Traditionally huge St. Patrick's Day parades around the world are canceled due to COVID again this year, so we thought we'd join in with the many virtual celebrations with some Irish pride from 2016, as reported by This Way Out's Greg Gordon.
When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your hearts away.
Irish eyes were indeed smiling on March 17th, as New York kicked off its 255th annual St. Patrick's Day parade with the raising of the flag of Ireland over City Hall. It marked the first time that out and proud Irish LGBT groups were allowed by the private Roman Catholic Church-affiliated organizers of the parade to march under their own banners after decades of protest over the exclusion.
It's hard to describe the kind of thrill of walking down the street to the parade as opposed to walking down the street to get arrested.
Out and proud former New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn.
That's what I did many, many years before this parade, was get arrested because of the history of discrimination and the lack of inclusion. And now we've turned an amazing corner after two decades, and for the first time since 1991, an LGBT group will march outly and proudly in this parade.
Current Queens City Councilman Jimmy Van Bramer shared similar thoughts.
I am so grateful to be able to finally step onto Fifth Avenue, not fear arrest, but instead be a part of celebrating the fact that I'm both Irish and gay at the same time.
I am so proud to be marching in the St. Patrick's Day Parade with Lavender and Green Alliance, Muintir Éireann na hÉireann. That's what our banner says.
Veteran activist Brendan Fay has led protests along the sidelines against the exclusion of queer-identified Irish groups for more than 25 years.
Lavender Green Alliance, Muintir Éireann na hÉireann, celebrating Irish, lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender culture and identity. We have waited for this moment for 25 years. Today is the first time an Irish LGBT group will be on the avenue with our banner. It's huge.
We're being welcomed back into the Irish community. We're being welcomed where we should have been all along. It's been a long road, but this is coming home.
For 25 years, New Yorkers have waited to see everyone come together in unity to support and to celebrate the incredible heritage of Ireland and everything that Irish Americans have done for this city and this nation.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio marched for the first time, having boycotted the parade since his election because of its less than diverse policies. He appeared first with the city's law enforcement contingent and then later behind the banner of the Lavender and Green Alliance. De Blasio praised the people of the Big Apple for all coming together to celebrate the city's Irish heritage.
Today, everyone is celebrating together.
I think this says that New York City is whole again, that the people in New York City are unified, and that we're learning to overcome divisions. Look, I always say this is a beacon. This city is a beacon around the world of what it looks like for everyone to come together. It's not perfect, but we proved once again we could create a more perfect union, and this is a day to celebrate what's good about New York City.
Well, almost all New Yorkers. Some hardline Roman Catholic church groups refused to participate because of the parade's embrace of out LGBT contingents. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League called the inclusivity contemptible. In addition to extensive coverage in the U.S., what's billed as the largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world was televised live for the first time this year in Ireland and the U.K.
And I'm Maria.
And together we're Zrazy.
And we're crazy about This Way Out.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, of that we can be sure. I'm being poor.
Money, 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 money.
What's in a t-shirt? Some insights into capitalism and community engagement from Outcasting Overtime.
This is Outcasting Overtime from Media for the Public Good, creator of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Vivian, an Outcasting youth participant. A couple months ago, I went shopping with some friends at the mall, and I saw an LGBTQ shirt on one of the counters. It was a generic black t-shirt with a small rainbow in the front chest area and the phrase, "Love everyone." I thought it was cute, even if it was a little cheesy, and I considered buying it until I realized it was $40. I left the store without buying the shirt, or anything else, and I couldn't help but reflect on the icky feeling I had about that t-shirt. I felt that my identity was being used to sell a trend or a fad for the younger generations, and that the only reason this design came about was because the store wanted to make a profit. This phenomenon has a name, rainbow capitalism, or sometimes pink capitalism. It refers to how companies want to be seen as supportive of LGBTQ rights. One way they can do this is to offer clothing lines or rainbow merchandise. Another is having a group of employees marching in gay pride parades. But is that enough, or is it just an image? Businesses certainly exist mainly to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if they create and sell merchandise with rainbows and cute sayings like "love is love," is that a measure of their support for LGBTQ equality, or is it just marketing? Let's start with this. Selling rainbow clothing and marching in gay pride parades is at least arguably a good thing. We LGBTQ people are a relatively small minority. We don't have the full range of equal rights that other people have, and we need allies, straight allies, business allies, all sorts of other allies, to support our fight for equality so that our small percentage is amplified. So if businesses do these things, it's good. And if they don't, that absence diminishes how the general public sees us. And without those allies demonstrating support, the fight for equality becomes more difficult. It's a sign of our advancement and growing public acceptance that companies want to be seen as LGBTQ supportive. It may be that some companies fear that if they don't visibly support the queer community, customers may begin to doubt them and even stop trusting them completely. But we hope that for many, their open support is based on the positive motivation of genuinely promoting equality. Of course, nothing says that businesses have to be supportive of LGBTQ equality at all. Some, like Chick-fil-A, have been openly hostile to LGBTQ people, donating to anti-LGBTQ causes that fight against our equality, and it's faced backlash for that. So it's a good thing when companies openly support us. But you have to look beyond what they do openly. Some businesses may try to seem supportive in public by displaying pride flags and marketing to our community, while behind the scenes, they're supporting anti-LGBTQ causes and candidates. Talk about having it both ways. But let's talk about how businesses can be truly supportive, beyond public but possibly insubstantial displays of support. The Human Rights Campaign regularly rates businesses on how supportive of LGBTQ people they are. Here are some of the factors they consider. One way businesses can demonstrate actual support is how they treat their employees. They should make health insurance and other benefits available to same-sex and different-sex partners on an equal basis. They should provide healthcare insurance that includes things like hormone therapy and surgery for transgender people. And they should include training for supervisors so that they know what to do when employees experience discomfort in the workplace because of their LGBTQ identity. Another way is that they should invest in the LGBTQ community. This can include positive efforts to ensure that LGBTQ people are in their workforce and that their suppliers include LGBTQ businesses. They should advertise in LGBTQ media and donate money to LGBTQ organizations. And they should help normalize how LGBTQ people are seen. They can do this by including LGBTQ people in their advertising in the mainstream media. Doritos recently ran a supportive Spanish language commercial. You can watch it on the Outcasting Overtime page on our website. So it's fine to display a pride flag, and we're glad when they do. But when companies do these other things, they show themselves to be true allies of LGBTQ people and active promoters of equality. Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime from Outcasting Media, creator of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Outcasting Media is a production of Media for the Public Good, based in New York. This piece was created by the Outcasting team, including Abiram, Ryan, Chris, Isha, Justin, Lil, Tim, and me, Vivian. Our executive producer is Mark Sofis. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to Outcasting and related content. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Joe Bainline and Tanya Kane Perry, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Greg Gordon, and from Outcaster Vivian, produced by Mark Sophos. Jimmy Cliff, Lauren Mayer, the Irish Tenors, and Alan Cumming performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors James Kennedy and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4BI Fortitude Valley, Queensland, WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, KZAX Bellingham, Washington, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.